Because at the end of the day, what I've learned, and it's a hard lesson, and I don't mean this to sound hard-hearted, I mean it to sound hard-headed, is that nobody cares. Nobody cares. You know, we talked about, you know, Hugh and his blueberries yesterday. Now, we care because we all tasted it. We freaked out on these blueberries, just freaked out, everybody, you know, and everybody's behind broadcasting us. But until we tasted his blueberries, albeit we're trained on blueberries, right? We have a lot, we, you know, during the summer, we eat a lot of blueberries. We know the varieties we like. We know the farmers we like. We know the soil where it comes from. We got it. But then we taste the blueberry on another higher level. It's just like, you know, it's just blows gaskets. And we all been talking. I can't stop thinking about the things. So I get them in March. So, but what is the average person? Can you expect the average person to, you know, without tasting something, to really care about the plight of organic or farmers? I don't know. I think you're fooling yourself, or we're fooling ourselves, because for so long I felt that way, that just because you believe that food is important and farming is important, that you're going to devote yourselves to supporting farmers. I mean, there's so many causes and there's so much noise. And that's why we're in a post-truth world. It's like, where are the facts? The facts, who knows? The stories, and part of the storytelling is the tasting. It has to be. It has to be.
Welcome to the Real Organic Podcast. I'm Lindley Dixon, co-director of the Real Organic Project. We're a grassroots, farmer-led movement to distinguish organic crops grown in healthy soils and organic livestock raised on well-managed pasture. You just heard from Chef Dan Barber, author of The Third Plate, and chef at Blue Hill Stone Barns and Blue Hill Restaurant in New York City. Dan was waxing poetic about the delicious blueberries grown by today's podcast guest, Hugh Kent. Hugh's farm is King Grove Organic Farm, 20 acres of blueberries in Central Florida. In this podcast, Hugh is addressing a crowd at our very first Real Organic Symposium at Dartmouth College in 2019. If you're able to watch this episode on our YouTube channel, you can follow along with Hugh's presentation slides. But if you're only an audio listener, there is much to be gained by just listening to. It's been almost 4 years since Hugh gave this shocking talk to Real Organic farmers and supporters at Dartmouth College. We have invited him back to speak at this year's in-person Real Organic Symposium at EcoFarm in California on January 17th to hear an update on how his farm is surviving the onslaught of hydroponic berries in the organic marketplace. If you find Hugh's talk to be as riveting as we all did that day, please get your ticket for our EcoFarm Symposium. Both in-person and live stream options are available, and all ticket holders will get a recording so you can watch at your convenience.
Okay, so welcome back. And our next speaker is Hugh Kent. And I've gotten to know Hugh through the Real Organic Project. He is one of our pilot farms. He grows organic blueberries down in Florida. And every time I talk to Hugh, I learn a lot. He's really a wonderful farmer and a bright mind. And he's in the depths of the conflict that we're dealing with. So, Hugh.
Thank you all for being here. It's very meaningful to see this many people. Okay, thank you. How's that? Thank you for being here. I appreciate you all coming and staying. I'm Hugh Kent, and I am one of the people compelled by outrage. I'm also compelled by Dave and Lindley. Thank you. I really should be back home farming, but what I wanted to do was I want to leave some time for questioning. I've changed exactly the structure of what I'm going to say. It's going to be a little bit more off the cuff, and I'd like you to ask some questions at the end, potentially to help give me a little more structure. But I'm basically here to not re-argue the curious and suspicious decision that the USDA made about hydroponics, but to report to you the very real effects They've happened quickly. They're happening right now. This is not theoretical. You were right, those of you that were there and spoke up. And I appreciate everything that you did. And I hope you all continue on. I'm going to show you a couple of organic blueberry farms in Florida. First one is King Grove, which is my farm. It's 20 acres of blueberry cropland, and it's surrounded by other land that we manage. My wife is a wildlife biologist. We have a very detailed stewardship program, which integrates with the farm. We've got some threatened and endangered species on the property that we also do our best to take care of as part of our farming effort. This is the blueberry crop, about 30,000 plants. Won't see much plastic there. We grow in the soil. There's a lot of things going on the farm, of course. So my dog thinks that all we do is create habitat for her, but there's quite a lot of other wildlife there. We use wildflowers as banker plants and also to encourage the pollinators. I've been actually quite effective in controlling thrips using these wildflowers. It attracts a lot of people also. Been a very effective addition for us. I took this the day before yesterday. This is the stage of growth we're at now. Most of the farm is covered in flowers. You can see that this is a productive growing system. My yield figures compare favorably. I'm well above the average for conventional blueberry growers in Florida. This is what our harvest looks like. We manage, we feed these plants mainly with what we grow in the middles. We use cover crops and do a lot of mowing. That green manure goes back up on the beds and of course decomposes and feeds the plants. It's not a complex growing system. What I've learned in my experience doing this is reflected in what Lindley said. A lot of this is a natural process that you can start and then leave alone. What I've learned to do is get the soil in healthy condition, increase the biodiversity all the time. That's what I try and do every day, and leave Mother Nature to do the rest. She does an amazing job. It's not heavy duty science in my view. A lot of this was done. It's lawnmowers. A lot of this was done done just by designing and fabricating different types of lawnmowers for this application. And you can see that we build up a substantial thatch that does the vast majority of our weed control at this point now that the farm is mature. So some of the people I hope to continue working with. And this is what our crop will look like in another couple of weeks. This is another organic blueberry farm in Florida. It's exactly the same size. This is also a 20-acre farm. There was no industrial espionage in obtaining these photographs. This is directly off of the promotional video on the website for this farm. And while we look at that, I'm just going to read something. What I'd like to do is I'd like to quote Potter Stewart. Potter Stewart was a Supreme Court justice in the 60s, and when the United States Supreme Court was struggling with an obscenity case, he was looking for a definition of hardcore pornography. And he said he decided that it was very difficult to define, but he famously said, "I know it when I see it." I am not offering this as an example of an obscenity. I respect these guys very much. I respect what they're doing. They're farmers. They're innovators. I have no objection to what they decided to do with their time and their resources. I do object to them calling this organic. The thing that I think we know when we see is organic. We know organic when we see it. This isn't it. But we don't have to rely on Justice Potter's description or definition. We have laws in this country that define what organic is. So we have the United States Congress in the United States Code giving us statutes that talk about this in detail. We have the Department of Agriculture promulgating all of the regulations found in the Code of Federal Regulations in Title VII and Section 205.200 and the following sections, none of which allow this kind of thing. We also have, in the words, if there's any confusion about that, we've got the words of the USDA itself interpreting its own regulations. I'm just going to read, while we look at this picture, the first paragraph from a guidance that was issued in January of 2016. The general natural resources and biodiversity conservation requirement of the United States Department of Agriculture organic regulations at 7 CFR 205.200 requires operations to maintain or improve the natural resources of the operation, including soil and water quality. Section 205.2 of the regulations defines, quote, natural resources of the operation as the physical, hydrological, and biological features of a production operation, including, and they put this in italics, soil, water, wetlands, woodlands, wildlife. Organic production is defined as a production system that is managed to respond to site-specific conditions by integrating cultural, biological, and mechanical practices that foster recycling of resources, promote ecological balance, and conserve biodiversity. So this is where the rubber meets the road, or maybe plastic hits the earth. This is a plastic-covered farm, blueberries grown in plastic pots, covered by plastic. It's a big plastic sandwich. And here we have the plants, which, from my experience in growing containers, which I did to learn something about it, will be root-bound very quickly. They are hydroponic. There is no water-retaining capacity in that pot after a couple of years, at the most. It's all roots. So they'll need to be fed a nutritional bath in order to produce. And here's the IV that they rely on. And here are their blueberries. Here are mine. Here are theirs. These will be exactly the same on the shelf. They will both say USDA certified organic. This is a farm that is 10 times the size of my farm and the one I just showed you. This is about 200 acres. And this is the new growing practice, which is taking over in Florida, in California, in Mexico. These fields are prepared, the soil is prepared in these fields by compaction, laser leveling compaction, and then plastics laid down and plastic pots are planted on top of the weed mat. And these farms are certified immediately. This farm, I have the quotation from the farm owner, by planting blueberries in pots with virgin soil media, they're able to forego the 3-year organic transition period. So the certifiers are taking the position that the land underneath, the earth underneath those pots is not what we're concerned with in organic agriculture. We're concerned with what's in that pot. And if that satisfies them, then that's all we need to look at. So here's where I don't know where to go next. This is obviously hard to compete with because there are huge external costs in growing the way I showed you the new hydroponic farms. Those external costs are borne by all of us. A friend of mine, reminded me the other day. He said, "Q60 is the new 60," and I'm starting to understand what he means. I would like what I leave behind to be meaningful. I would like what I leave behind to be better than I started with. I look at my farm and I think what it will look like and what it will support if blueberries aren't grown there anymore. And I look at these farms I compete with and I think, well, what will that land be like after that's no longer used for blueberries? The costs of these new production systems that the USDA is endorsing are borne by all of us. I feel like traditional or real organic farms, we produce externalities that are beneficial, and I don't see that happening with the competitors. If anybody's got any questions, I'd love to try and answer them. Yes, sir.
Two questions. Who's the certifier, and what is the solution that's being, the nutrient solution, and where is it coming from, and how is that certified, how is that approved?
There are two certifiers in Florida certifying organic blueberries. I tried to get a statement from both of them about what is allowed and what isn't allowed, and neither of them wanted to provide that for me. One of the certifiers did say that they do not certify these farms as they don't waive the transition period, but they otherwise are considering these to be certifiable. The growth media, the substrate which is in the pots, can be anything that they accept. There's no restrictions on it. It's just no unapproved materials may be in the pot, as I understand it. And these are very small containers, and that's why I'm being insistent about calling them hydroponic. They follow that sort of criminally loose definition of gallons that the industry, you know, horticultural industry uses for those pots. But those are 15-gallon pots. They're maybe a 17-inch diameter pot, maybe some 15 to 18 inches high. My understanding is that some of the bigger corporate growers, which have gone into this with 1,000-acre farms now in Mexico and California, they're using pots as small as 7 gallons, which is a 12 or 14-inch diameter pot. It's very small. I'm sorry, did that answer the question? I don't know what they're using. Sir?
Where does the money come from to finance the development of these farms? Who's financing them?
These are big farms with names that you find on, that you're very familiar with when you look on the shelf. And this is a slightly different topic, but this one I feel very strongly about. I look at my system and I believe I can compete with, actually I do believe I can compete with these guys. I can't compete, I don't know if I'll be here next year. Might be doing something else because I don't know whether I can successfully get to market. These are the same large corporate entities which also control some of the routes to market. They've decided this is how they want to do it, and they're not really pleased with people like me. But they are the farms who you find most frequently on store shelves listed as organic. Jim?
Are the hydroponic blueberry operations applying glyphosate or Roundup?
That's a good question. I believe that they are. When I started, I sought advice from the academic community in Florida about how to grow blueberries organically, and they said, what you need to do is prepare your land 3 years in advance with 3 courses of glyphosate. Otherwise, you're not going to have a chance. And I said, well, I don't think I want to do that, so I didn't. But that's the recommendation that they make even for organic growers. Without a doubt, conventional growers use a tremendous amount of glyphosate. And on the farms that I showed you, and in published literature, and the third farm that I showed you there, I listened to the owner of that farm give a presentation at an extension event where he described this system, and he very proudly said, you can, there's no transition period. Once you put this in, you'll be harvesting a year later. If that's on land which is not already certified, there seems to me certainly there is no restriction on somebody treating that land any way that they want conventionally, and then making a decision that they're going to go organic and lay the plastic out, put the pots on, and there is no examination of how that land has been treated. The certifier is just saying, I'm only interested in what's in that pot, because that's, from my perspective, that's the land. Yes?
Is there any way for the public to push back against the certification of a farm?
I'm sorry. The question was, is there any way for the public to push back against the certification of the farm? I think I'm here to ask you that question. I would love to know, and my website is kinggrove.com for our farm. I think that's what a lot of us here are struggling with. How do we educate people? If people understood this, if they saw that, I think it would make a big difference. I don't think people buy organic food simply because it's clean food. I hope not. Certainly some people do, but I think a lot of people accept and appreciate and assume that they're basically funding good stewardship of farmland. And if they saw that new farm, I don't think they would like it. I believe that's part of where Dave is leading the Real Organic label. Sir?
Yeah, hi. I went to BJ's the other day to check out because I heard they had organic stuff, and BJ's is like a, I don't know what you call it. It's a
big box.
Like a Costco kind of store. And I bought a container of organic blueberries that was like this big, and they were delicious. They weren't, they weren't rotten. They were really tasty, and they were like $5 or something. I mean, they were maybe $4.99. They were so cheap, I couldn't believe it. And I think I think I would disagree with you, unfortunately, that most people, the first thing they say is, I don't want to poison my kids, And if you say this is organic, then the next question is, how much does it cost? And what all the people who are against this say is, you have to answer the question when you tell people that you want them to eat organic food. You gotta have a price on there that makes sense to them. And I think this is a crucial issue that we have to deal with. And I don't think we can wait. I don't think consumers are going to magically, decide that they want to help the environment. I mean, sure, there are a lot of people think that, but that's not the first thing, So I think the answer is this, is real organic, and we have to not pretend. I mean, as Dave Chapman says, I haven't got anything that the organic hydroponic stuff is fine. It's good. It's not poisonous. If that's your criteria. But it's not organic, and I think we need to stay focused on that and try to figure out how to sell that instead of assuming that people are going to do the right thing.
Thank you.
Do that in Chile for that amount of money.
Hmm.
Labor.
Very low wages.
No union.
Well, I want to thank you for giving voice to the whatever was on my other shoulder. I agree with you, I want to throw something out just quickly for you to consider. I think you're right. I think most people's criteria is this clean food? Is this going to poison my child? I think we've got a tremendous amount of fraud in organics in this country. And I think whoever takes the lead in testing the food, actually testing the food, is going to have a lot of credibility and a lot of market. And I'd suggest maybe Real Organics might want to look into that, that independent testing be part of a certification. Yes, ma'am.
How can we get your blueberries?
Just thank you. If I could have your name and address.
And over co-op, right?
Right in the middle of the state. Yeah, in between Mount Dora, Florida, Eustis, Florida. Yes.
Yeah. Well, another aspect of that is that all the nutrients that are being put into those pots leak down through that landscape cloth, and just the disrespect of the soil to just keep overloading it. And how many years are those pots there? 10 years. So that not only is that soil not organic, it's not being treated organically either. It's just they're just using that land underneath that landscape cloth as a waste repository.
Yes, exactly. I was going to call it a table, but you're right. It's more than just a platform. It's going to have all the leachates from the plastics also, the ones that don't run off and create erosion and land up in that lake that they show in the photograph. Rains very hard in Florida. Erosion's a huge issue. I can't imagine what happens when you cover 20 acres with an impervious surface. Yes, sir.
Maybe one action is everyone in this room could write USDA and say prohibit hydroponic. Send it CC to the NOSB. Not that hard.
I wish I had the answers. That may be one of them, Michael. I wish I had the answers. Yes.
You don't need to prohibit hydroponics. You just need to give them their own name for the poison-free.
Well, they already have a name. Right?
What is it?
Hydroponics.
Yeah.
Hydroponics. Build up their brand name. Take from government the power to define the word organic.
That's exactly my take on it. I have no quarrel with these people and their decision. What I wanted them to do is stand on their own 2 feet. If they're proud of what they do, if they believe that they're conserving resources, if they think their water use is less, if they think there are benefits to what they're doing, let them go ahead and sell that to the public. Let them say, hey, this is clean food, it's hydroponic, hydroponic's the way to go, it's great. That's not what they did. It's cynical. What they did was try and cloak themselves in a garment somebody else made. They're lying in somebody else's bed. They want to confuse the distinction. You don't see any of them labeling their product as USDA certified organic and hydroponic. But I think that is definitely part of the answer, and that was something that was completely missed on purpose or otherwise. They should be separately labeled. Yes, Annie.
We hear over and over again how important it is to tell the story of the farmer in reaching the end consumer. And can you just talk a little bit about the challenge you have in, you have a fantastic farm story, but you have to go through a large distribution because you have a large quantity that comes on within 2 months of each other, right? Can you just talk about that challenge in the distribution where you have the story, but we might not be able to hear it, whoever we are within your range?
You want me to do this without crying? Is that what you want? This is how it works. This, in my experience in Florida, I am presented with a form contract from blueberry marketers. There's not very many of them. And it's the same contract. And it says, I will give them my crop for the season. They will make their best efforts to market it. At the end of the year, they will tell me what they say they sold it for, and they will take out a commission, and they will give me a check. In these contracts, I am required to waive any demands for documentation. I am required to waive my PACA rights, and there are no restrictions on who they sell it to, if they broker it, rebroker it, re-rebroker it, what they get for the ultimate price. I have no control or say over any of that. It's a very strange position to be in. I'm a manufacturer, basically. I make a product. I know what it costs me to make it. I know what I need to pay my bills. I know what I need to make a living. Excuse me. I'm not allowed to say this is the price I need for this. I'm not allowed to do it. And I went through that for several years, and I realized I'm going to go out of business. This doesn't work. I contacted all these guys are very aggressive in trying to sign you up, but none of them will change that standard agreement. If you tell them, no, sir, I'm sorry, I need some certainty as to what the price is, they'll say, sorry, go away. Good luck selling your blueberries, Mr. Kent. So that's what I decided to do. I pack in my own label. I do my own efforts to get to the retailers. It's very, very difficult to do. This is a closed group of people. They know each other. They don't really want somebody else coming in. The stores aren't in, and I'm sorry, it was Alan Lewis's presentation was fascinating to me this morning, and I'd love to talk to him if he's still here. I see what's happening. I see that Trader Joe's, for example, has two produce buyers, and they're both on the West Coast. How are they going to buy all the produce dealing with people like me? They've made a decision as a business that they're going to use middlemen. Almost all the retailers that have access to the ultimate customers, the consumers, they're making that same decision. They've got models which don't allow them to deal with somebody like me. I'm not really a small grower. I have to move a lot of product. It's not something that I can do on my own. I really need to do this wholesale. But the options are very limited. And once I decided to go outside of the standard process and just not sign up on these agreements, it's been very, very difficult for me to get to the stores. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Hugh. I knew that you would give an amazing presentation. Every time that I've talked to him for the last half year, we could talk all day, and I just learn and learn and learn. And I would just add that, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but Hugh comes here at considerable personal risk to his business just for speaking about this. It is a serious consideration. He will be put out of business for speaking about this in public. So this is what we're dealing with.
That's right.
He has become a hero of mine, as so many speakers are.
Thank you for listening to our Real Organic podcast. The issues that we cover here are often painful, but it's so important to hear stories about the struggles in the food system directly from organic farmers. If you believe in our work to amplify the voices of organic farmers and incentivize an increase in organic integrity through our label, please share this episode with your network and become a sustaining donor of the Real Organic Project. And we'll see you at EcoFarm on January 17th with Hugh Kent and keynote speaker Paul Hawken.